Waltraud Meyerson, tenured professor of antique studies on loan to the Regular Space Service as a consultant on Texan history and culture, sat quietly in the corner of the room with her recorder on, watching the new Tex women argue about religion and education without getting involved. She hoped. This was the first conflict she'd seen among the women who had fled Our Texas, and she was fascinated. It had been months, and only now was the rigid rank structure breaking down. The first wives of the Rangers had each run her own household without interference from the other first wives. Primas, they were all called. Prima Bowie, the one Waltraud felt she knew best, actually ranked second in the hierarchy. The Ranger captain's first wife outranked her. That was Prima Travis, but she was older and had less vitality than Prima Bowie. Usually, she let Prima Bowie make decisions, but not today. They were arguing about schools again. Under Familius' law, the children, all of them, were supposed to be in school. Parents could choose from a wide variety of schools, or school their children at home, and the requirements were, to an academic like Waltraud, minimal. All children must become literate in at least two languages, study some very basic science and mathematics, and the Code of Citizens. But these women had steadfastly resisted sending the children to school from the beginning. No one had been able to figure out why, because the women would not explain what they considered self-explanatory. Now, in the argument, Waltraud began to grasp the problem.
Boys and girls together? I think not. They'd become abominations.
There are single-sex schools. Most are religious.
Not our religion. They're heathens, or worse.
But you...
We should never have come. I was wrong to come. We should go back.
Behind her, Waltraud saw several of the junior Travis wives nodding. But one pinched her mouth up and looked stubborn. Waltraud counted, third back. That was Tertia.
The men lied to us. They killed mothers.
You said. I never saw that picture you said you saw.
You heard Patience. Hazel. She's a good girl.
She's not a good girl. She's one of them. Prima Bowie, has your brains run out of your ears or what? She is one of them. An abomination. She runs around wearing men's pants, messing about with machines.
I'll bet she has an implant.
Prima Travis whirled and slapped Secunda Travis on the mouth.
Oh!
Don't you be saying those bad words, girl.
I just...
And don't you be arguing with me. You see what it comes to, Prima Bowie? We left our rightful place, and now we have this arguing and using bad language.
We can't go back. They'd kill us.
And so they should. Our children to grow up no proper way.
So you think we should go back, die, let our children be orphans?
No, but we got to find the right way to live, not halved up like bees with nowhere to gather honey.
Having delivered this, Prima Travis led her family out of the common room, back to their own little hive.
More stingers than honey.
Waltraud shut off the recorder and waited until the remaining women were seated back at their endless handwork.
Prima.
Call me Ruth Ann. I'm not a first wife anymore. Mitch is dead, and that boy won't actually marry me. I see that now.
Ruth Ann, fine. Listen, where do you think you would be happy?
The woman's broad, rounded face contracted in a scowl.
I won't be. Not in this kind of world.
There are many worlds in the Familias. What sort of place? Can you tell me? A city? A smaller town?
Hazel said there was, but how can we go there? We can't just up and ask some spaceship to take us, even if I knew. If I can't be home, I guess I'd like a quiet place. There's always noise here. Machine noise. I'd like it where it's quiet. Open. Maybe where I could see the fields. I always missed that. After Mitch moved us to the city, not having the fields outside. The garden just wasn't the same, big as it was. Some place where people didn't laugh at me for not being schooled. Some place where what I can do is worth something. But I doubt you got any place like that in your fancy confederation or whatever it is.
Oh, but we do, Ruth Ann. What you need first of all is to be on a planet, not on a station in space. And then you need the kind of world where the basic skills you have are desperately needed. Your gardening, weaving, sewing, cooking. And tell me, do your boys know anything of tools?
The older ones do. Boys make most of the furniture in a house. They're so rough on it, they have to learn to fix it and make it.
Your world had trees, didn't it? Wood for manufacture?
Yes, of course. Are there worlds without trees?
Nearly without, yes. Ruthann, the Familius has hundreds of populated worlds and is opening new ones to colonization all the time. And the colony worlds need pioneers. As you pointed out so succinctly, today most of us can't boil water without a computer. You know how to build fires. You know how to make bread from wheat. And I'll bet some of your older boys know how to make a mill.
Of course they do.
Waltraud could almost feel the slow smile working its way out of the woman's confused heart, and just as she expected, it finally smoothed out the ridged brow.
You really believe we could get to such a place? How? We have no money?
I know someone who does, and they owe you a lot. The only problem is making the connection. But that's what scholars do.
Make connections?
Yes, it's our job, though most people don't think it is. They think of us in terms of collecting information. Silly, anyone can do that. What we do is notice which bits make new connections.
You will help us? Why? You think we're ignorant.
Of history, yes. Of life, no. And of course I'll help you. Any decent person helps others. It's one of the things people are for.
What religion are you?
Waltraud picked up her bag.
You wouldn't recognize it, and it would only bother you. Prima... Ruthann. I'm going to be gone for several weeks. I've been asked to escort a diplomat from the Lone Star Confederation back to Castle Rock. But let me just show you.
She took out some hard copy ads for Colony Worlds.
See this? You might like something.
But what would our protector say? He'd have to say it was all right.
Waltraud thought of the scuttlebutt she'd heard about young Baron Serrano and his problems with the women.
I think he'd be delighted if you found a place you could be happy.
And live in the right way. Happiness isn't everything. Just because our men did wrong things doesn't mean they was wrong about everything. I want my children to grow up to be good, God-fearing men and women.
I'm sure there's a place, Ruthann. When I get back, I'll help.
Baron saw Esme just a moment before she saw him. Saw her face with that harder edge, that warier expression. Then their eyes met, and she grinned as they settled at an empty table in the concourse.
How long do you have?
4 hours. It was supposed to be 48 hours on station minimum, but all of a sudden...
Same with us. I should have been here 3 days ago, but the blasted ship had a pressure lock problem, and we hung around for hours and hours at SecSev HQ. Then they transferred us to Old Bofin without time to send any message, and then she couldn't generate more than 72% of her normal power, and we just came limping in. I was afraid you'd have left already.
So was I. I left a message for you with the mail drop already, just in case.
Baron put his head to one side and grinned.
Surely all this scramble can't be just to keep us apart. That's an expensive abuse of fleet resources.
Whatever it is, it's a nuisance. Is your family still against us?
Yes. They think we should wait until the new Tex women are all taken care of. How am I supposed to do that? It could be years. What about you?
Esme handed over the message that had finally arrived, tied and stamped formally.
The landholders are upset. Can you read Kurlik's script? Basically, it says that it is unacceptable for a land bride to marry off-world at all, and particularly to marry a foreign military officer.
But we're not foreign.
I know that. You know that. But Altiplano?
I don't want to take away anything you have. You've explained about being land bride. It's a wonderful thing.
It's a nuisance. I never expected to be land bride, and I thought I'd lost you, and... Anyway, I accepted it in a time of crisis, but that's past. My father realized very early that I might resign in favor of a legitimate heir. It's not done often.
It had never been done except in cases of insanity or other permanent disability or extreme old age. Esme didn't like to think of marriage as equivalent to insanity or permanent disability.
But there is a ritual procedure. The hard part is going to be getting leave to go there. I can appoint a stand-in, but that's not the same thing as the next land bride. My father says if I marry you, even though I've appointed someone, the Landmen's Guild could challenge and intervene in our family affairs, and that would be bad.
I can see that. And we still haven't figured a way around the fleet regulations. Even if you do resign as land bride, you can't quit being a sector commander's daughter. Does it seem to you that this is a lot harder than we thought it would be?
Yes. If it were this hard for everyone, nobody would get married.
They stared gloomily at each other for several minutes. Then Esme sat up.
Let's not waste it. We have 4 hours, or rather 3 hours and 42 minutes.
I don't suppose we could get married in 3 hours and 42 minutes. Maybe an hour to get married and 2 hours to enjoy it.
It takes a lot longer. We couldn't possibly. But we can do something cheerier than sitting here eating bad food in a noisy place.
Right, but you'll have to pay. I'm flat broke.